الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا حلوة خضرة، وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only through His fadl and ihsan that He has given us the tawfiq to be present here for yet another Jumu'ah. Find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created two worlds, and one is that of the akhirat, where that is a place where man is either given thawab for his a'mal, or he is given punishment. And the other world is the one that we are in at the moment, that is this dunya, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a world of effort where there are trials. Allah has made it a world of means where a person has to go out, and in order for him to survive and live on this earth, he has to go out and earn a living. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He had created man, He had created man with a purpose, and He had a sublime mission for man, and that was how man can attain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereby earning the favors of Jannah and earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in this world and the Akhirah. However, together with making effort for that everlasting life, it is a necessity of man that he has to go out in the dunya to earn a living. But this world is such a thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cautioned us about, that when a person is confronted with this dunya, and when he comes into direct contact with the wealth of this world, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ, that this world is something that is very lush, and it is very tempting. وَإِنَّ اللَّهُ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is sending you into this earth to observe how you conduct yourself, whether you live your life according to His commandments and as His servant, or whether you transgress His laws and forget about the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا, that be very wary of this world and of the dunya. We're not saying that a person shouldn't go out to earn, but a person has to be very cautious when he goes out to earn his income. So much so that Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, there is encouragement also for a person to go out and to earn a halal earning. In one hadith it is mentioned that that person who goes out in order that he may earn halal income so that he may provide for his family, such a person is regarded as one who is in the path of Allah. That is why we find Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, many of them were very successful businessmen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the Sahaba in the Quran and Majid, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that these were such men who they managed the wealth of this world, but the wealth of this world did not manage them. That is, when they went into the marketplaces, they understood that this business that I have, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealth that I am earning, I am only adopting the means, but the one that is providing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if at any time I am confronted with a situation where I might fall into that boundary where I am not allowed to deal in a certain way, or I am not allowed to conceal a defect in a certain item, etc., then at this time the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first, and I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I do not go ahead with that deal. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further goes to mention, وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاءِ, that in their business places, they are not unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, mentioning more specifically when it comes to the establishment of salah, that when the time of salah comes, they understand again that I am not a person who runs my own life according to my own dictates. Rather, I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the time of the adhan comes and the time of salah approaches, at that time it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I leave my business and I go towards the masjid and I perform my salah. Because Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood that the one that was providing was not the shop, but it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if the shop is open, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives rizq. But if a person comes to the masjid, how can it be possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive such a person? And the last thing, and the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this was the driving force that allowed him not to be distracted from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ, that they feared a day, and they knew that the day was going to come when they would stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would question them about their dealings. That is why it is mentioned in a hadith, لَا تَزَالُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ عَنْ خَمْسٍ, that on the day of Qiyamah, it will be such a dreadful day. But even on that day, no person would be able to move from his place, and he wouldn't be able to take a step also, until he would be questioned about five things. And amongst those five things, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ, that a person will be questioned about his wealth, that from which sources did he earn it, and together with that, in which avenues did he spend it. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has sent them into this world, and even their business has to be according to the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they understood, just like how they made no difference, just like how pork is something that is haram, like that the taking of interest as well is something that is haram. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, He is so kind that if a person is able to answer on the day of Qiyamah, when he is questioned about his wealth and his earning, if he is able to answer in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he can answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I tried my utmost and I ensured that my business was free of interest taking, and I did not deal in a fraudulent way. I never tried to deceive any person. I never concealed any kind of defect in any article. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, التاجر الأمين الصدوق المسلم مع شهداء يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that that honest and truthful businessman who conducted his business according to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he came to his business, on the day of Qiyamah Allah will elevate him and Allah will put him amongst the ranks of the shuhada and of the martyrs. Such a high rank is afforded to that businessman who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam and laws in his business. That is something, a benefit that a person will only see on the day of Qiyamah. But together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being arhamur rahimeen, that person who is particular about his income, and he ensures that whatever he consumes is of a halal nature, and nothing doubtful enters his system, then such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with five ni'mat and five favors. The first favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person is that all the other ahkam and laws of Islam and all the other injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for this person to make amal upon. That is, he will get the tawfiq of doing amal saliha. That is why in the Quran al-Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the anbiya, Ya ayyuha rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha, addressing the anbiya, that alayhimu salam, that you all partake of that which is halal and wholesome, and do good deeds and do a'mal salihah. Showing that there is a direct link between eating that which is wholesome and performing good deeds and performing a'mal salihah. Like that, the general people also were addressed with the same command that the Anbiya alayhimu salam were given, Ya ayyuha an-nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, that, oh people, you also seek that which is halal. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, that seek that which is halal from the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consume that. It will be an aid and it will be a driving force for a person to carry out a'mal salihah. That is why we find that when a person, in fact one wali of the past, a pious person, it is said of him that he mentioned that whenever any doubtful morsel had to go down, not even something that is haram, a doubtful morsel, he said, for 40 days, the meilan and the inclination towards sin, I would perceive in my heart. This is the first favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant a person. The second ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow a person is that his du'as will be accepted. A person may be performing all his 5 times salah, and he may be even waking up for tahajjud and making a lot of du'a. But if a person, he is indulging or is taking of interest or in his business, he in some way is falling short and he is doing something that is not allowed according to the Sharia, then such a person, his du'as will not be accepted. On the one hand, we know the famous incident of the three people who were in the cave, and when that boulder had come and blocked the mouth of the cave, and each person had thought of some good action that he had done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of the du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed the rock to a certain extent. But one person from there was a person who was very particular about his dealings, and it so happened that he had some employer who had left without taking his wage. He had kept the wage of this person, and the wage was of that kind that increased, it was of livestock. And although it was a small amount, maybe a few cattle, whatever it may have been, but because on its own it increased, after some time when the employer had come to collect his wage, he gave him what he was due and whatever extra also was accrued from that. On that basis, when he made dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua and that boulder was removed. So we find, on the other hand, when a person consumes haram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he recited first the two ayat of the Quran, addressing the anbiya and the people of consuming that which is halal. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned of a person who traveled for a very long distance, أَغْبَرَ أَشْعَثَ That this person, he was a very pitiable sight after the distance and the travelling, that he had become disheveled and his clothes had become filled with dust. Meaning that he had that sight apparently, which generally draws the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he stretches out his hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, that oh my Rabb, oh my Rabb, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further to mention, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ That this person, despite being in a state where generally his dua would be accepted, but his food was haram, what he drank was haram, his clothing was haram, and he was nourished by that which was haram. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ That how can the dua of such a person ever be accepted? Respected elders and friends, in today's time, riba and interest has become something that is the order of the day. Whatever a person purchases, if he goes to certain outlets where a person will go, he will purchase everything, from his food items until his clothing. A person can purchase everything on interest. And in this situation, how can a person expect for his du'as to be accepted? In one hadith it is mentioned, in that place where riba and zina become the order of the day, then the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes incumbent upon that place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to abstain from taking this riba and interest. So the second benefit is that a person's du'as will be accepted. The third benefit is that a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that his offspring and his children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them righteous and pious. We all know, we all have heard of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was known as Umar Thani, as the second Umar because of his justice. But we find that what was the means of him coming into being, and what was the means of his high levels of taqwa? We find Umar radiallahu anhu once, he's walking amongst the streets of Medina, and he overhears a mother and daughter talking. A very famous incident where the mother had told the daughter that add some water into the milk which they were going to sell. So the daughter replies that Umar radiallahu anhu, he will not allow this. So the mother says, but Umar is not here. So she replies in turn to her mother that if Umar is not here, then the Allah of Umar is here and he is watching us. Umar radiallahu anhu becomes so affected with this that he goes home and he tells his son to send a proposal, and after that the nikah was made. From that nikah a daughter was born, and we find that thereafter the grandson of Umar radiallahu anhu, or the great grandson of Umar radiallahu anhu, was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. We know the kitab Bukhari Sharif, everyone speaks of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. He also, his father says, that not a single doubtful morsel also, not haram but something that was doubtful, nothing doubtful also, had entered into the system of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah was a great muhaddith and faqih. It is mentioned that he set such an example which was very hard for those after him to follow. Yet 6 months of the year he would spend in jihad and fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 6 months he would spend in ta'aleem, engaging in learning and teaching. But it is mentioned that his father, at the time of his nikah, he was going to get married to the daughter of a certain judge. And after the nikah, the father of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, it is mentioned for a very long period, he did not have relations with his wife. And upon inquiry, he told his wife that, you see, you are the daughter of the judge, of the qazi, and the qazi's income and his allowance is from the Baytul Mal, from the wealth of the Muslims. And although that is permissible, but it is something that is very sensitive and very delicate, that a person has to see that he doesn't take more than what he needs. So I am just taking precaution that I do not want it to be such that my offspring must be nourished by something that is doubtful. And we find that after this, the likeness of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah is born. So the third favor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to it that a person gets righteous children. The fourth benefit that a person will get through consuming halal and being particular about his dealing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that he will protect his wealth and himself from different calamities. That is, a person together with himself and his family, even his wealth also will be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the incident of Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, when they had gone to that village and that wall was about to fall, beneath which was the treasure and the wealth of two orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed and inspired Khidr alayhi salam that to straighten that wall, because had that wall fallen, then the people of the village would have squandered and would have usurped that wealth. But in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, that the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the wealth of these orphans was that their father was a pious man, and this wealth of his was of a very halal source, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected the wealth of these orphans. So this is the fourth favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless a person with. And every person knows that his wealth, every believer knows that his wealth and his family, everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person can say that I am earning X amount of money, or I am living such a high standard of life, it is because of my own kamal and my own effort. Rather, this is just the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, but it is in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also change conditions. Coming back to the point of interest, when a person has any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is enjoying it from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every guna that there is, whatever azab is mentioned, there is no guna for which such a stern warning has been mentioned as that with regards to interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that when it comes to interest, there is no particular azab that is mentioned immediately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person does not abstain from interest taking, then a person should now prepare himself that now it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has waged war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that Allah who is in control of his entire life, he has angered Allah so much that Allah is saying that this is as though it is a war between him and the person taking interest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. So these four things are the benefits which a person will get. And lastly and mainly, which most people are desirous of, in fact every person is desirous of, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person in his rizq and his sustenance, Allah will give him barakat. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Al-bayyani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa, wa-in sadaqa wa-bayyana burika fi bay'ihima. That when a person deals with someone and he does business with someone, then if the person is honest and he is truthful, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't deceive, he doesn't conceal any defect in the article that is being sold, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give barakat in the profits of both these people. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further to mention, وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذِبَا مُحِكَتْ بَرْكَةُ بَيْئِهِمَا, that if they conceal, or if one of them conceals a defect, or he cheats, or he deals in a fraudulent way, or he speaks a lie in order to sell whatever he's selling, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the barakat of that. These five benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless a person with. But when we come into the business place, we should see and try to see what kind of means we can adopt and what stance we can take to see that our business are free from anything that is doubtful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-halalu bayinun wal-haramu bayinun wa bayinahuma mushtabihat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, halal is clear, haram is clear, but there is a grey area, an area where it is not very clear whether a certain type of transaction, whether a certain kind of deal or a certain commodity, whether it is halal to sell it or not, there is some doubt. Even that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they stay away from that. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَى لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, that that person who will stay away from that which is doubtful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this person's deen and respect, and a person will be safe from haram. But that person, وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, that person who goes forward and takes the plunge and indulges in that which is even doubtful, that person will fall into haram. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions an example. He says, كَالْرَاعِي, like a shepherd who is grazing his flock around the boundaries or the border of another farm, of another pasture. Nabi sallam says that generally it will be very difficult for him to prevent the cattle or whatever he's herding from going to the next pasture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.